John Strasbaugh is the author of Black Like You, Blackface, Whiteface, Insult, and Imitation in American Popular Culture. He saw Shirley Q. Liquor on stage at a club in New York City in February 2004.
It was the strangest experience when he first came out as he does another character named Betty Butterfield, and she's a white woman, sort of a white trash character. And that was one thing, and everybody laughed along. Then he came out in blackface, and it was literally a physical shock the first time you saw a white, I mean, first time I've seen live a white man in blackface. I mean, the person standing next to me said he felt sick to his stomach at first, because it's just such a shock. And then as the routine continued, some of it you found yourself laughing because it is funny, but you're really upset with yourself for standing there laughing. So it raises, your head is spinning by the time you leave the room, and it has raised a lot of ideas and a lot of issues for you, which I think, you know, in many ways is what comedy is for.
Well, even going into that club, though, I gather, you had to go through a line of people protesting the fact that this performance was going to take place.
Yeah. In fact, he rarely gets to perform because people start protesting in advance, and then club owners, probably wisely, end up saying, you know what, let's just cancel the event. This one, it was a relatively small crowd of kids, but you did have to sort of run the gauntlet. I'm not sure. I think for a lot of people, that just kind of added to the, you know, the frisson of the evening. It just made it more exciting for them, I think.
Yeah. So when blackface was popular back in the 1850s, when minstrel shows were up, who was going to those shows? Who was the audience?
When they first started, they start on the Bowery in New York City. I mean, when they first start becoming really popular. And that's young, mostly Irish, very poor white guys going to see it and doing the performing. The first couple of superstars were young Irish Americans from the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And they were in a very special situation socially because they were, in many places, considered lower than black folks. They were at least as low as black folks. They were looking to distinguish themselves from black folks and say, no, we are white folks. And one of the ways of doing that was, oddly, to put on the blackface and imitate black folks. They were saying, by being able to make fun of black folks, they were saying, we're not black, we're white, because only white folks can make fun of black folks this way. But it was even more complicated than that for them, though, because they were also, you can hear it in the lyrics, you can hear it in the songs. They were not just making fun, and it was not just an insult. There was something about black culture as they understood it that they liked, that they appreciated, that they wanted to imitate the same way, you know, rock and rollers 150 years later imitate black music. They're not doing it to make fun of black folks. They actually like it, and it's, you know, the sincerest form of flattery sort of imitation. There was an element of that in the earliest years of blackface in the 1820s and 1830s, and I think that's been forgotten now, and of course it has. It was a long, long time ago, but you can hear it in the music.
Well, things have changed. It's not acceptable anymore, except that, as you say, it is sort of acceptable today. What is blackface doing today?
Yeah, I don't know that it's acceptable, but it's still around in various. One of the things that happens with hugely popular elements of pop culture, as blackface was, it's hard to kill them. They don't die so much as mutate, and they come back in different forms and in different ways. There are a whole lot of music critics and social critics who see a lot of elements of blackface in hip-hop and rap videos.
You're going to have to explain that to me. I don't understand.
The degrading, stereotyped images of the black male as a thug, as oversexed, as wearing tons and tons of bling is very much a late 20th century, early, or this is the argument at any rate, and I think I agree with it, very much a late 20th century, early 21st century version of the same sort of stereotyped images that were strutting on the minstrel stage 120 years ago. And the fact that there are black performers doing it is not very different either, because there were many black performers doing it on the minstrel stage.
Now, you also write about the fact that there has been a flip of this. There's a history of blacks using whiteface to satirize whites. Now, I'm not sure it's the same thing.
It's not the same thing, but it's interesting that it goes back just as far. And it goes back to white folks and black folks first encountering one another and instantly noticing the differences and instantly starting to make fun of the differences. So in West Africa, even at the time when the first white slavers were showing up, black folks were making fun of the way white people walk, the way they smell. They were completely appalled by the way white folks smelled. Their hair, they couldn't stand the straight hair, and et cetera, et cetera. They brought those traditions with them when they were brought here. And very early on, there are festivals that are kind of like primitive versions of Mardi Gras, where they would do processions wearing whiteface, dressed up as white people, and walking in a very stiff, white person sort of way, which became, years later, the famous dance, the cakewalk. Really? And then white people wanted to learn how to do the cakewalk because they thought it was, you know, it was hip in the 1890s. So you have all these white folks learning how to do a dance that black folks originally did to make fun of white folks.
Seton, let me ask you, is it acceptable for you to write about blackface? You're a white guy.
Yeah, I know. And I did get a review in the Los Angeles Times. The first line of the review was, "Who does John Strasbaugh think he is?" And the second line was, "No, I'm serious. Who does John Strasbaugh think he is?" She was very upset that a white man decided to write about this history. But, you know, I consider myself an American. It's American history. It's a behavior that white people started. And so who better to write about it than a white person? I even have a lot of Irish in me, so I even get to say that. I mean, if we're going to start parsing out American history to who gets to write about it and who doesn't, which has been a tradition in academia over the last 20, 30 years, then no, I shouldn't have written this book. But since I don't believe any of that, I think history is there for all of us to study and try to learn from and scratch our heads over and write about. If you're going to be upset that I wrote the book, be upset. I can't stop you, but I think it's foolish.
So what does all this tell us about American culture? I mean, what is the history of, that's a big question. Yeah. But what is the history of blackface tell us, do you think, about American culture?
There is one, and I probably get in trouble for saying this as well, but there is one kind of positive thing that comes out of it, which is that it's a reminder that we're a mongrel culture. We're a mutt culture. We're not even multi-culti. We're not a rainbow. We're more like a muddy mix of everything. And we have been from day zero. That is America. And everybody in the rest of the world seems to understand that better than Americans sometimes. We're not white. We're not black. We're not Asian. We're all of that put together. And we spend a lot of time, and we especially spent a lot of time 100 years ago, 150 years ago, looking at one another, making fun of one another, being upset to have to spend time with one another, but learning how to tolerate one another one way or another. And I think popular culture is an arena where those issues get played out. Instead of beating each other up on the street all the time, sometimes we're just hitting each other over the heads with toy hammers on stage and making fun of one another on stage. And at some point, we get used to each other that way. A lot of people don't buy that argument, but I do believe it.
John Strasbaugh, he's the author of Black Like You, Blackface, Whiteface, Insult and Imitation in American Popular Culture.